Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, September 24th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the experience of a high school counselor who helped students navigate college admissions last school year. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Early voting begins this week in Illinois. Tammy Patrick is the chief program officer of the National Association of Election Officials. She tells the 21st show there's a mass exodus from the profession.
Some states have seen 50 to 75% of their election officials resign or leave. In some places, entire offices have walked out because of the threats and the environment that they're facing.
Patrick says more training and professionalism in the field, plus more support for state associations, would help. Illinois' efforts to ban certain food additives could get attention at a Food and Drug Administration hearing this week. Alex Degman reports.
State lawmakers tried to ban chemicals like Red Dye No. 3 and propylparaben earlier this year. It got a lot of pushback from people who said the FDA should handle food safety, not lawmakers. But now the FDA is studying whether there's a better way to gauge the safety of food additives like the ones Illinois tried to ban. Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias says it's about time.
The agency's action is unprecedented and marks a solid, albeit embarrassingly late, first step for consumers.
The FDA's meeting is open to the public, and there's a virtual option to attend and submit comments. Illinois' legislation, known as the Illinois Food Safety Act, passed out of the state Senate in April, but it hasn't been taken up by the House. I'm Alex Degman.
Egg prices have spiked in recent months, peaking at $3.30 for a dozen this quarter. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Harvest Public Media's Hector Alejandro Arzate explains why.
Bird flu is behind higher egg prices. Outbreaks earlier this year in Iowa, Minnesota, and elsewhere reduced the number of hens. Now, the USDA is projecting egg prices to drop in the coming months. But Patrick Westhoff, director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri, says that all depends on if there are any further outbreaks.
And that's a big question mark right now. There's been a couple times where we may have hoped that we've gotten past the worst of it, only to be hit by additional cases. So we'll see what the next weeks and months and years portend in that regard.
The USDA is projecting wholesale egg prices could drop down to $1.75 per dozen next spring. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Hector Alejandro Arzate.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. Still to come, we'll learn more about the experience of a high school counselor who helped students navigate college admissions last school year. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely at a high of 72 degrees, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 55 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 73 degrees, a northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 56 degrees, a northeast wind 5 miles per hour. And for Thursday, partly cloudy with a high of 76 degrees and a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, we'll talk about the latest developments in the case of Sonia Massey, the woman killed in her home by a Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy. We'll hear from reporters who've been following the case and a leader from Springfield's Black Lives Matter about a commission meant to address broader concerns about public safety in the community. I'm Brian Mackey, and that's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Last year was an exceedingly difficult one for navigating college admissions. A monumental breakdown in the financial aid process ground down students, parents, and even the most dedicated high school counselors. Lisa Korean Phillip shadowed one as he faced the year from hell. She has this dispatch.
You can tell LaVon Robinson has added some special touches to his windowless office at Downers Grove South High School to make it more homey for students. There's a little love seat across from his desk, a side table with a mini Zen garden. This morning in October of 2023, a student sits cross-legged on the love seat, contemplating her core values.
Okay. What three do you have?
Financial stability, success, and peace.
LaVon thinks the discussion could spur an idea for the student's college essay.
Wow. How do you define success?
Money, being able to provide for everything I want, and like my family. Because like my mom was a single mother, and just like watching her provide for me and my brother like alone. She did a great job, but like I just know I want to be like wealthy and stuff.
Yeah, make her proud.
Yeah.
LaVon talks about values a lot with students. This is his eighth year as a counselor at Downers Grove South, a public high school in Chicago's southwest suburbs. It serves kids from across the economic spectrum.
It's a good way to like really get to know people and help them like know themselves and figure out what's important to them.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't do something like this until I was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If I could go back and do high school all over again, I would want to have LaVon or someone like him as my counselor. Before getting into applications or essays, he asks students about their latest track meet or their plans for winter break or the prom. LaVon says his high school counselor didn't get to know him like that.
I was like a very like average student, like I got fine grades, like I was an athlete. Didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I ended up being recruited by Illinois Wesleyan to go there to swim. I felt like there I really kind of found my passions and kind of figured out who I wanted to be.
Now he lives to help other students find that same opportunity. It's not an easy task. LaVon has 140 students on his caseload. Applying to college involves a million and one steps. And there's this thing that seems to weigh on his mind every day. The students who most need his help are the least likely to seek it out.
We have plenty of marginalized students here whose parents didn't go to college, and like they come from low income status and they have to take care of siblings where they need someone to like just follow them step by step and guide them. It's a lot to get students to feel comfortable to ask questions and like their wealthy classmates like don't need to ask questions about.
Doing this with only 8 hours in a school day and two young children at home, it's a lot. And unfortunately, helping these students is about to get a whole lot harder.
So now my mom's like stressing with the FAFSA stuff. She actually—
Not long before winter break, a senior comes to see LaVon because the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, is late. Families like hers, with few economic resources, rely on it to get help paying for college.
She never got anything back.
Let's try to log in and see. It generally takes 3 days.
Federal officials were supposed to make the FAFSA easier to use, but when it opens months later than usual, it's riddled with bugs. They go unfixed for months and make the form and financial aid even harder to understand and access for the students who most need it, the ones whom LaVon wants so badly to help. 3 weeks before graduation, a senior comes into his office. She's wearing a shirt that reads, "Art is the lie," to help unsee the truth. The teen is trying to figure out how much she has to pay to go to Illinois State, where she might study art. All LaVon can do is guess.
I'm thinking that this $8,000 will be like the most it can be, because here the federal government said that this is what your mom can pay for college, and since that's a negative number, in theory, they shouldn't be charging you a lot more money than that.
For now, that's all the info the student has to go on to make a decision about how she'll spend thousands of dollars in the next 4 years of her life. It's extra uncertainty and confusion heaped on top of an already complicated and confusing process, LaVon says.
Like, a lot of my low-income students aren't even there, just like, in some ways, barely bought into going to college. And when students see, like, well, this FAFSA thing still can't be figured out, and like, just further goes to the distrust of the whole process, which makes it hard because we know there's a lot of value in a college education and a college degree.
After graduation has passed and the summer, I hear LaVon has left Downers Grove South for another job. I wonder if, despite his best efforts, he did get burned out. We hop on Zoom to catch up.
I wasn't unhappy at South. It was just kind of like small things, like, oh, It'd be nice to take the train. It'd be nice to have a smaller caseload. Like, the extra money would be nice.
He says he's not doing college planning anymore, just social-emotional counseling.
I can just kind of unwind on the train and, like, leave my computer at the office and not worry about, like, as much of, like, what kind of panic college-related email am I going to get?
I ask if the FAFSA broke him.
I think a big takeaway from last year is that I think no matter how things shape, the college process will always favor, like, the wealthy and the kids who come from, like, college-educated backgrounds for a variety of reasons. And I think that a lot of work needs to be done to support, like, students who come from, like, marginalized backgrounds.
LaVon plans to continue to do some of that work by volunteering for a nonprofit that helps low-income students get to and through college. Lisa Corian Phillip.
That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Kulsum Khan, Alex Degman, Hector Alejandro Arzate, and Lisa Corian Phillip. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.